Do you know that? When it's difficult for a person to respond to God, do you know what that means? It's actually a sign of spiritual apathy. Let me show you something. Not my message, but let me show you something. It's actually a sign that you are in darkness. It's a sign that you are in judgment. Let me show you. Matthew 13. You know, while we're worshiping and praying, and I kept seeing that, the Lord now told me, this is why I said you should focus on Abuja. Matthew 13, let me show you something. How can they be worshiping God? The God you said you love. And somebody's like this. Let me show you. Matthew 13. From verse 10. Or let me read from verse 9. Jesus says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 10, the Bible says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Follow me. Then it says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, everybody, read verse 13. Read verse 13 together. Read it again. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15. For these people is heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Ah, Jesus. Are you seeing what is happening? Jesus is saying the reason he spoke to them in parables is because the way they have become right now, even though they see, they will not understand. There's a doctrinal term for it. It's called the probacy. They have become so backward spiritually that in seeing, they will see, but they will not understand. That's how a person can be in a worship service. The worship is going on powerfully and it's just there. It's lost. It's a sign that you are far away from God, that even if God is shouting, you cannot hear. How many of you have had an experience like this, or you have heard of people that had experiences like this, where they were in a dream and they were fighting in the dream, and then maybe something was attacking them in the dream and they wanted to shout Jesus, and they were struggling to shout Jesus. Who has said something like that before? If you have heard about it before, raise your hand. Or you have heard somebody that talked about it, right? But in the physical, the person can actually just say Jesus. Why is the person having that struggle? That's the person's spiritual state. In the spirit, he's so weak that to call the name of Jesus is a problem. Are you following me? When you see yourself slow and sluggish towards spiritual things, it's a litmus test of where you are spiritually. Because the same person who is struggling to shout glory, the same person who is struggling to lift his hands in worship, the same person who is struggling to respond to God, put a movie now. The person will wake up. Go to all nights. Prayer all night. People are struggling to pray, to sleep. As the all night finishes like this, they will start gisting. Who has seen what I'm talking about? You know what's happening? That is a testimony to the fact that they are more carnal than spiritual. They are more fleshly than spiritual. They are more natural than spiritual. They are weak in the spirit. That's something. See, if you discover that during prayer meetings, you are always weak, but after the prayer meeting, you are alive, it's not something to rejoice about. It's something to cry about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is serious. That same person that does not want to shout glory in response to Christ, as now we score, nobody will tell them shout goal. Think about it. Nobody will tell anybody to shout goal. Ah.
natural. They just go, God!
You know why? That the Bible says, where a man's heart is, that's where his treasure will be. You will know where a man's is by his response. You will know where a man's heart is by his response. And God cannot be deceived. You can say, God, I love you. God, you are this to me. God, you are that to me. God looks at your response. From your response, he knows. A guy can tell a girl, I love you. You are my G. You are my best. You are the gold in my life. The way he responds will validate whether what he's saying or not is true. Are you with me? So this is serious. You know, can I talk to you? Can we talk? Why are we here? Why am I doing what we're doing? Why are we doing this? Because, first of all, before the fact that, before God said you are called into ministry, before that, I love Jesus. First of all. And why do I love Jesus? Because my eyes have been opened to really see what he did. Who is he? That's why. Why should I bother about if people come to church or not? Why should I bother about, hear with me. Why should I break my head in trying to bring souls to church? Why should I break my head in trying to get win souls, preach to people? Can't I just be a regular Joe, buy a house somewhere in Katampe and relax every Saturday, fine, go for hiking. Then after hiking, I just, Abuja, this city. The city can be so big and quiet sometimes, you just want to have fun. Are you with me? Am I with me? There's nothing wrong in hiking. There's nothing wrong in going for a Friday evening party at Wuse 2. There's nothing wrong in just, but as I'm, something happened to me. People who are close to me know that I'm not so much of a movie person, but I have a type of movies I like. Things that have to do with fiction, science fiction, Marvel, Aquaman. Are you with me? So don't judge me. Don't judge me. Aladdin and all of that. Spiritual things are just... And so, this week, I was a little bit under the weather. And so I told myself one day, I said, today I'm going to just have fun. I told confidence, I've been walking, praying and reading the Bible since. I want to go and watch film. Are you with me? So, I went and said, today I'm going to watch Aladdin. You know that? It was not up to 30 minutes inside. I just said, I need to pray. I beg, wait first. You know why? Even to satisfy the carnal inclinations, it's a struggle. See, can I shock you? Since that time till today, I have not finished that movie. Because my spirit man has found greater pleasure in the Lord. Beyond even trying to be a minister. So, what is does God's ministry? What God has done in a man, he wants to replicate in people. Are you with me? I remember when it dawned on me, the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ. Has the glory of Christ dawned on you? Has it really dawned on you? What we are doing here, is it just a youth fair or just gathering some people? Painfully, some ministers think that's what we are doing. This thing is sacred.
And it's also fun. It's not that it's a boring thing. Are you with me? When you begin to flow, when you begin to soak and flow in this, in the frequency, the spirit, and the glory of Christ, you will look back and say, what have I been doing since? I'm telling you.
That's why I was saying, oh God, let your eyes be open. When your eyes are open, listen, one of our sisters, one of our dear sisters, Susan, she was telling me how she came to New Britain. After a while, she doesn't know what just, it's as if the gospel just took over her. And she began to invite people. One day, somebody asked her, did they pay you to be the evangelist of this church? She was like, no, it's as if my spirit man just opened up to the glory of Christ. And I began to preach to people. Let me tell you the truth. I don't know how to stay 1 month without preaching to people. Not because, see, at this stage of ministry, I can decide that I will not go for evangelism again. Every time I would just cross my leg, Pastor David. But how will I do it? How? How? I know too much about Jesus not to evangelize. I know too much. You look at history and see what people did for Christ and you wonder if we are born again. I'm telling you, You wonder if our generation is born again. I'm telling you the honest truth. You know, the church these days, people are so far away from the reality of who Christ is that we do so many things to get people serious in God. So, church will have suya nights, movie nights, dance nights, popcorn nights, name it. Eh? Drama, gala nights, variety Sunday, dress down Sunday. So, there are people that are coming to church not because they really love God or they found Christ as anything beautiful, but because it's a cool place to be. We meet with cool people. Do you understand? We just hang out. And that's why they can say, you know, I want to come to church today. Mm, you know, I'll come next week. No, I don't want to go out. I just want to go out. I just want to have fun. You know, I can't try it. And so, when the Lord was calling me, said, you will raise me a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ. People that have really found the true glory of what Christ is, who Christ is, represent the whole counsel of God. Many people are sleeping spiritually, and they know it. How do they know that? How do they know they are sleeping spiritually? When they meet a person like me, they say, he's doing too much. That's it. Let me tell you, what I'm talking about, I'm not telling you because I'm one great man of God. This is what is called normal Christian life. There was an atheist in the 20th century named C.S. Lewis. He was a renowned atheist. He was a lecturer. He was a scholar, but he was a known atheist, somebody that didn't believe that there was God. And so someone talked to him one day and said, I know you say you don't believe in God, but can you just try reading the Bible? And he began to read the Bible. He read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible to the point where the Christ in the Bible converted him. See, you know, Jesus told Peter, when thou art converted. That means he was following Jesus, but he was not converted. There's something called conversion. Conversion is different from saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Conversion is when you have actually changed from who you used to be to what Jesus has made you. That is the difference between being born again and being a Christian. To be born again means you believed in Jesus Christ and you have put faith in him for salvation. That means you are born again. Are you with me? When you do that, you become a new baby in Christ. You have been born anew. Are you with me? But to be a Christian is that you have walked with God and the Holy Spirit to a basic level where other people can now begin to see the work of Christ in you. That was why the word Christian was not even given to us by Jesus. It was believers that went to a city in Antioch. And the people in Antioch looked at them and said, these guys are Christians. They look like that man. Are you following this? They look like the Christ. So, many people have entered church. Some are born again, but few are Christians. No, when you are a Christian, there are some things that Jesus. I have a sermon to teach, but see, it won't even matter. You won't even know the value of what I'm trying to teach you if we don't get the point of why we are here. You know, sometimes when invite people to come to service, they will not tell you, let me come. Or, next time I will not come, or they will tell you, next time you come to my own. For that, they are saying those things. It means they don't even get the point. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't worry. I'm not saying all of this to condemn you. I'm saying it to build you up. I'm trying to show you that there's a better way. There's a higher place. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying this because, oh, Pastor David is better than you. No. I came to bring you up spiritually. And all that Christ has planned for you, you will become in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. See. This is the bane of Christianity currently. There are too many people in church who don't know God. They're in church for miracles. And as beautiful as miracles is, that's, you know, in my little experience of ministry, miracles do not build people up spiritually. You can be an unbeliever and still have miracles, yes. And that is God's mercy of trying to get your attention. Are you with me? No, that's God's way of trying to get your attention. The people that I thought would be the most committed in our churches are not the most committed. People who I prayed for, I cannot pray for a family. Their sister died. Pastor David prayed on the phone. The woman came back to life. I thought that when the woman comes back to life, they will now be more serious with God. But you know, human beings, they ate the bread of Jesus and yet still crucified him. Your spirit man must be open. Say that my spirit man is open. Say it again, my spirit man is open. My spirit man is open. Why should you come on a Sunday morning? We are not just here to waste your time. See, I'm not just here to count numbers. When you understand this, oh, you know that every time we come, every time we come, there is something serious in God. We are building. Are you with me? What's the point of having a great church? What's the point of, oh, gathering people? It is this. You know, when Paul encountered Jesus, there were many things Jesus told him that we didn't see written immediately until later when he was talking and preaching. For instance, in Acts chapter 26, let's look at this one. Acts 26. I pray for you, your eyes are open. Your eyes are opened. In the name of Jesus. I remember a woman, she was 53 years old at the time. Her husband jilted her and took off. After 2 years of their marriage, left her with two children. She was a single parent for about 21 years. And she was telling me, my daughters have grown. They've left me. I work in this oil company. She works in an oil company. I say, I earn a good salary, but my life is just boring. That's what she was telling me. She said, I come back home. My children are not around. I just sit in the house. And my life is just boring. And I was, in my mind, I was like, boring? How? How can your life be boring? Boring. My life can never be boring. It will never be boring. Jesus. Anywhere I enter, I have a message to preach. No, there's too much about Christ in my heart for me to be boring. Too much. What we call ministry is an overflow of that move of God within your man's spirit. How do we start Bible question and answer? I just discovered that I will stay on Instagram. People will be messaging me. I'll be answering questions. People will just call me on phone. Pastor, what do you think about this? I say, okay, check this verse. Check this verse. I say, wait, oh, this thing that I'm just answering like this, I can actually do Bible question and answer and record it. Are you with me? Acts 26. Now, Paul had been arrested. Please, are you following me? So after me, my spirit is opened. My spirit is open to Jesus. I pray for you. You will never remain the same again. After this service, the glory of God, the power of God overtakes your heart. In the name of Jesus. A passion for Jesus like never before. In the name of Jesus. Acts 26. Paul had just been arrested and he was brought before King Agrippa. And he was asked to speak about his convictions. And Paul began to talk and talk. Acts chapter 26 should be one of my best chapters in the book of Acts. And so, he talked and talked. Then he got to verse 8. Because they were angry with him for preaching about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And he said something. He said, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Let's read on. Then he talked about his encounter with Christ in verse 13. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now Jesus began to talk back to him in verse 16. Everybody read verse 16. But rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Verse 18. Now, open your eyes
and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Hey, glory! To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So the power of Satan is broken when your eyes are opened. Ah, my God. The power of Satan is broken once the man's eyes is opened. He says, but they may receive forgiveness of sins. So the first part of this assignment was to get them saved by revelation. Let their eyes be opened. Then after, he says, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. So, the Christian journey is from salvation to destiny. Ah. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. They are turned from darkness to light. And they will receive inheritance. Inheritance. See what I mean? Inheritance. You know, some people are saved, but you look at their Christian journey, it's, you look at their life, and there is no proof that they even have a walk with God. And so it is salvation and spiritual growth. We can use different words for it, but after you have been saved, where are you in your journey? How are you growing? What progress are you making? How much of the inheritance have you received? Where are you? You know, preparing for today's service, the Lord told me, you know that the work has not really started in Abuja. I was like, what do you mean? He said, you know. He said, when you start, they will know. Then I was like, how do I start? He said, start talking to them today. Talk to them very well. Let them understand the core of what we are here for. Let them understand the core of what we are here. We are here on a discipleship mandate. To raise Godly people. Are you with me? And it will begin from you. Tell them it begins from me. It begins from me. Glory! Don't worry, you will shout this glory very well. Until all the lethargy, all the slowness in your spiritual life is shaking away. Glory! Hey, you see when how can Ronaldo score? And you'll be hearing goal everywhere resounding. Then Jesus has scored eternity for you and you are looking like this. Yes, you are easy enough. Exactly. Praise the Lord. So how do we get this inheritance? Go to Acts chapter 20 verse 32. It says, in verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. Hi. And to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? To build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Are you following this? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Meaning, when you embrace the word of God, it will impart grace to you. That grace will build you up. And not just that, it will give you inheritance. Are you following me? It will give you the inheritance. After me, it will give me the inheritance. So what is the inheritance? All that God has made available for you. And this is my church. If I go into this sermon, you know, by the way, I was thinking about something one day. I was asking myself, how did God deliver me from the bondage of sin? How did God deliver me from the addictions of sin? And I remember the verse that got my attention some time ago. The Bible says, in the beauties of his holiness, that has the dew of the morning. Let me tell you why people sin. It's because in the eyes of many, righteousness still looks inferior to sin. But when your eyes come to the point where you can see the beauty of holiness, you know, the glory of God and the holiness of God is so beautiful that it will naturally provoke a hatred for sin. Let me give an example. So, something happened. Let me give this example. Which one will I use? There are many, but let me give it a good one. So, there was this guy in our Port Harcourt church. he's into women. Anytime a girl passes, he's like, you get that kind of thing. And all that. And then there was this man on our street who couldn't walk. And saw me in his dream praying for him. And we went to pray for him. And after 3-4 times of praying for him, he stood up from the wheelchair. Now, when the man was walking into church out of the wheelchair, and he was carrying this baby he wanted to go and sleep with, he looked like, what am I doing with something this filthy when there is something this glorious in front of me? Are you following it? That glory of God automatically just made him know that filthiness is foolishness. Are you following this? I know you are getting the point. The glory of God makes everything that is pale to it inferior to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Finally, on my charge. 1 Timothy 4 from verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. You see, the gift was in thee because somebody prophesied to him. So when I'm saying you are blessed, I'm giving you something. Do you understand that? In the spirit realm, it's real. Like now the gift which is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15, everybody. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So after my profiting will appear to all. Glory! So everything I've said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting will appear to all. Praise the Lord. So, you know, in the month of July, we've been talking about blueprints, following God's plan for your life. The month of August, God has given us a theme for that month, the move of the Spirit. Glory! Exactly. That's how to respond. Amen. We've talked about blueprints, the assignments, lifetime. But I know some people have not been following, so just try and go and listen to the other teachings and follow. Today, I want to start another side of the teaching. Of course, we cannot finish it in one service, but we will just continue as much as we can. Amen. It's called the compass, first principles in divine direction. Now, if there is a blueprint from God over our lives, we can't fulfill it without God guiding us through it, right? Right? So, what is a compass? A compass is a device that shows cardinal directions. It's a device that shows cardinal directions used for navigation and geographical orientation. If that's big grammar, simply put, it's a device that helps you find direction and maintain direction. Are you with me? A compass is a device that helps you find direction and maintain direction. Are you with me? It's a device that helps you find direction and maintain direction. A compass helps you know that you're on the right track. A compass keeps you on the right track. And now, you may wonder, why do I need a compass? At least I know my way from here to Kubwa. I know my way from here to Dutse. If it's in Port Harcourt, I know my way from here to Rumo Koro, Rumo Masi, Rumo Igbo, Rumo Kalabo, Rumo. Praise the Lord. And you know your way, so you can just drive. Or you can just enter a taxi and, okay, this one connects to this one and you get there. Are you following me? But when you are a pilot in an open space, you will look for a compass. Are you with me? When you are in that open space, how does the pilot know that if I take off from Nnamdi Azikiwe Airport and just go into air, how long is this the place to come down? You think they just go and just go, okay, this is the place, let's come down. You need a compass. When you are the captain of a ship and everywhere around you is just water, who has been in a boat before? Do you know how it is? It's like, what the hell is this? You look here, water. You look here, water. You look everywhere, water. Ha! You need a compass. Are you with me? Especially people who are in an open space like that. they need a compass. You need to be sure that you are right on track, because you can be going. You can be going and you will find yourself at nowhere. You know, hey, Jesus, God forgive me. Oh, I remember something funny. If you can remember this cartoon, by now you should either be married, planning to get married, or considering a relationship. Who knows Courage the Cowardly Dog? That their house was in the middle of nowhere. Every time I think about it, I'm like, what sort of useless cartoon was that? How can the house be in the middle of nowhere? How did they not find the place? When you are in an open space like that, you need a compass. But can I tell you something? In life, you need a compass. Because you see, life is like that open space. The illusion of school makes you feel like you know what you are doing after primary 1, primary 2, primary 2, primary 3, then JS1, then SS2, SS3, you are done. Year 1, year 2, year 3, you are done with school. Youth service, then life begins to settle. Where are they? Then you start asking questions, should I go for master's, should I do PhD? Okay, you go for master's, you come back. Okay. Then you get a job. Let's say you get a job. Then you are in that job every morning. One day you ask yourself, where am I going? What am I doing? Where am I headed? 5 years, you are still in that job. Or you get another job, where am I going? How do I know I'm on track? Tell your neighbor you need a compass. Praise the Lord. You know? Like I said, life is that wide, is like a wide plane of space. No wonder Jeremiah was lamenting in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Open it. Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Look at this. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. See, the story of direction is too important. It's too important. You hear stories about the lives of people and you just know, listen, I've taught this thing. I've been teaching it again and again, but I will never stop. I will never stop. Pastor, he was saying it, though. He wanted to enter that bus. Something say, then he said, I'll just enter. And that is how he had the accident and broke his two legs. Can we master this unseen realm that influences the seen world? You know, why do we need direction? I usually give two reasons why we need this kind of divine direction. Why do we need this divine compass? Life is deeper than the obvious, and your life has specifics. What did I say? Life is deeper than the obvious, and your life has specifics. Things are deeper than what you see. You know, I humorously say that your mind is too small to give structure to a destiny whose architect is the Ancient of Days. Your mind is too small. If God is the architect, you cannot be the civil engineer. If God is the architect, you cannot build the engineer on site. No. The pillars you will build will fail. Are you with me? You know, this kind of sermon, as I'm preaching, somebody may be following somewhere. I beg, leave us. You know, when you are at a stage in your life where everything just seems to be under control, this sermon may not mean anything to you. When you think you know what you are doing, then maybe your major decisions, you have parents, uncles, this person that will decide for you. When you now reach the point where you need to decide for yourself, you say, you know, Jesus spoke in John chapter 11 from verse 9. John chapter 11 from verse 9. I can feel somebody's heart saying, oh my, this pastor, you're the preacher, they shout, give us Bible here and there. Bye. That's what we came here for. Amen. 2 hours will just come and go. I will just say bye-bye. No. Do you know how much hard work you need to do spiritually to be where God wants you to be? Not because it's so difficult, but because the world is working harder. Some people come, most people go to church only on Sunday. You know that, right? Midweek services, if they even follow online, it's a miracle. Yet, you after this service now, you go and battle with the devil every day. Monday to Sunday again. Sometimes you can even forget what you learned the previous Sunday. So there's no build up. The early church met every day. They were having services every day. I told somebody what the early church was doing, meetings every day. Every day. What they will achieve in 1 year. For some Christians, it will take 7 years to achieve it. Think about it. If you go to church every day, once every week, and the early church was meeting 7 times every week, that means you will take 7 years to become what an average member of the early church became in 1 year. Then if you go to church twice every week, you will take 3.5 years to become what they became in 1 year. That should get you concerned. Are you with me? I remember the first day I prayed in tongues for 6 hours. Man, I prayed straight 6 hours. There was a way I was feeling. Then I went to preach somewhere. Prayed for somebody. It's not like I was praying for testimonies or miracles or anything. And the lady just walked up to me and said, while you were praying, something popped out of my ear. I said, wait, could it be that time I spent with God commodorated in? I said, wait, what if I did not pray that 6 hours at all? I would never have known that there was a place in the spirit where the supernatural can happen naturally without your knowing. I would never have known. And then as I prayed and read the Bible, a time came, I want to do something and I'll feel like there's a man within me telling me, don't do like this. Go like this. Don't talk like this. Move like this. You know, some people don't have, this is what I'm saying. John 11 verse 9, Jesus answered. He says, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. Then see verse 10. He says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. So he's saying that there are different seasons of your life. There is a time when you are in the day season where there is light all around you. Your parents are there for you. Everybody has something to tell you. Are you with me? It seems like there is light all around you. You cannot stumble in that time because there is light everywhere in this world. But when you get to the night time, you will stumble. Not because there is no light outside, but because there is no light in you. It says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. You will not stumble. You will not stumble. I said you will not stumble. I said you will not stumble. In the name of Jesus. Quickly, why do people struggle with divine direction? There's only one reason I'm going to address today. Because of a stereotypical way they think God speaks in their mind. Or the way God leads. There are many stereotypes. This major one I want to address now is, one major reason why people struggle with divine direction is that they think that God is too far to talk to them. Or they feel that they are not qualified enough to be directed by God. Have you ever said something like this? I'm too far. I've gone too far. I don't think. Have you heard things like that? I've seen too much. I've missed it too much. Maybe I've made too many mistakes and God is like, I'm tired. I'm done. But well, I came to break that stereotype. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So many people believe that, when we say God said to me, God gave me a word. You know, if you are talking to people and you just say, God told me something just now. They will be like, man of God. You know, somebody came around me one time and was like, Pastor David, you say, every small thing I sense, I'm just sense, every small thing, it's like God just told me. Guy, bro, what's up? We are all here. Not only with the ego. And so, Spirit Coco. And many people have that mindset that, it is only the Spirit Coco people. That, I believe in Jesus, so I'm born again. I speak in tongues, but I never reach that level of the Spirit Coco. But well, if you are born again, Jesus. Jesus said, if a man walks in darkness, he stumbles because he doesn't have light in him. But if you are born again, the Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So that means if you are in Christ, you are already in light. Are you with me? Okay. Maybe some of you are looking at me. So let me quickly give you this. Number one, being led by God is our inheritance. Say after me, being led by God is my inheritance in Christ. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to lay the basics. I'm trying to lay the foundation. Paul said, I as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So I'm trying to lay this foundation in your heart. Never forget it. Being led by God is my inheritance in Christ. Say after me, being led by God is my inheritance in Christ. Glory. Don't forget, that's the way we end everything we are saying. Being led by God is my inheritance in Christ. I know you are feeling gloomy. The devil, you know, the devil can bring so much discouragement, especially on Sunday morning. You want to come to church, all kinds of, all hell will break loose because he knows Pastor David will shake you up for Jesus. Then you just start feeling bad about yourself. Don't shake it out and shout glory. Being led by God is my inheritance in Christ. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 12. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So, he has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Satan has qualified me. Christ has qualified me. Christ has qualified me. He has made me a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Christ has qualified me. Jesus has qualified me. He has made me a partaker. He has made me a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. What is an inheritance? An inheritance is something that you don't have, but you receive because your father had it. Everything your father is and your father had, because you are his child, you have inherited it, right? And so, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, from verse 5. 1 John, the epistle of John. I'm breaking down the inheritance for you. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Hey. And in him is no darkness at all. So, if God is my inheritance, are you with me? If I have become a partaker of the inheritance of the saints and God is light, that means I have an inheritance of light. And with this inheritance, there is no darkness at all. Are you with me? Say after me, God is light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Oh, now I understand when David says, God is the portion of my inheritance. So if God is light, I have the inheritance of light, which there is no darkness at all in it. Are you with me? It doesn't matter where you are in your life right now. Maybe you are confused. Maybe you are saying, where would I go from here? Maybe I've made so many mistakes. Maybe you feel like your life is so complex. You don't know where to go to. You don't know where to turn to. You don't know how to move on from where you are. But let me tell you, God is light. This is the message. This is the message that we have heard. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So I pray for you, the darkness gives way. Yes. Tell me, God is light. He's my inheritance. God is light. He's my inheritance. God is clarity. It's my inheritance. God is precision. It's my inheritance. God is direction. It's my inheritance. If you are not talking, open your mouth and talk right now. God is light. It's my inheritance. God is precision. It's my inheritance. My mistakes become miracles. Oh, you are not talking. Hey. My mistakes become miracles. There is light all around me. The darkness gives way. Glory! God is light. The Bible says in John, now go to the book of John. John chapter 1 from verse 5. Verse 5 too far. Let me start from verse 4. John chapter 1 from verse 4. Talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in him was light, was life, and the life was the light of men. Reading it verse 4, I feel like I'm missing something. John 1. Bible is sweet. I want to just read everything, but time is already ticking. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Then in verse 5 it says, and the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Let's not be ahead of ourselves. Let's start from verse 4. Everybody, John chapter 1 verse 4. Read with a loud voice. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Read it again. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Read it again. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So, if men can get that his life, it will be light to them. Are you with me? Are you with me? In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. So, if men can lay hold on his life, they will lay hold on his light. Are you with me? If they can lay hold on his life, they will lay hold on light. And how does this light operate? We see in verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. The other may shineth in darkness. The light shines in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. So, Pastor, okay, I agree. His life is the light that men need. His life is the light that shineth in darkness. How do I get it? How do I get his life? So go to 1 John chapter 5 now. 1 John. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm feeding you with the word of God. Breaking it and let it enter. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 11. Yeah. Hey, the next time you feel confused, look for scriptures like this and begin to declare. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. 1 John chapter 5 verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Oh, so that life, that is light, is in the Son. Okay. Verse 12. He that had the Son hath life. He that had the Son hath life. I thought you shouted loud out glory. He that had the Son hath life. Say after me, I have the Son of God. Then that means I have life. I have the Son of God. That means I have life. I have the Son of God. That means I have life. That means I have light. That means I have light. This light shineth in darkness. The darkness cannot. I will shine in darkness. No matter the economy, I will shine in darkness. I will shine in darkness. Because I have the light of life. Glory! And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that had the Son hath life. Akapataya. Say after me, before Jesus comes, the word of God becomes alive in me. I will see the word of God become alive in me. Glory. You know, every time I look at the arguments on Twitter, formerly called Twitter, now called X, when I see all those arguments and see everybody fighting on Facebook and all of that, I see pastors fighting themselves on Facebook. You know what the Lord keeps telling me? He said, leave the distracted to be distracted. Just let the word of God be alive in you. Let the word of God be living and active in you. A time comes where you go beyond explanation to manifestation. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So all of that is under being led by God. Is our inheritance. Number two, being led by God is the privilege of grace. I'm saying the same thing with different words. It's the privilege of grace, and God has given you that grace. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 22, it says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? That's a verse too. With him. You know, some people read that, okay, if he gave me Jesus, he can also give me other things. But that verse is saying that if he gave you Jesus, he gave you everything. It says, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. What am I trying to say? If Jesus died for you, and his death burial and resurrection for you last all through eternity, how much more divine direction that is just for this life? See, if you are born again, you are a candidate for divine leading. You can't miss it. Even if you have missed it before, you cannot miss it again from this time henceforth. If God spoke to Cain, how much more you? That's what I'm trying to tell you. God spoke to Cain. Cain just killed his brother, not because God approved of his act of murder. But that was God's grace in action. Still talking to a sinner. How much more you? I want you to live here with the confidence. I cannot miss it again. I'm led by God. Say after me, I'm led by God. God spoke to Pharaoh. God spoke to Pharaoh. How much more you? Aye. Pagan Pharaoh, pagan king. God showed a Pharaoh the economy of his nation for the next 14 years. You will not make a mistake. Yes. Then the icebreaker, God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. God spoke to him. And so, I want to close by telling you just this. Focus more on God's ability to speak than your ability to hear. Did you hear what I just said? Focus more on God's ability to speak than your ability to hear. Even if you are sleeping right now, he will speak to you. Wherever you are in this auditorium and your eyes are closing, he's speaking to you! Isaiah 48 verse 17. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teacheth thee to prophet. But think about it. He teaches you to profit. Say after me, he teaches me to profit. He leads me by the way I should go. He teaches me to profit. You know why I'm telling you to say these things? See, have you ever heard that scripture that says, you are snared by the words of thy mouth? Have you heard? You are snared. Meaning, when you talk like this, when you talk like this, you have declared, I am the Lord thy God, I teach you the path of prophet. Even when you want to make a mistake, your words will snare you. You don't understand what I just said. Your words will ensure that you will not make a mistake. That's how you hear somebody say, I was about to enter that bus and something just happened. Then the bus had an accident. That's how you hear people say, oh, that car, everybody died except this person. You know, I heard a testimony that there was an accident, a woman died in the accident. Saw her spirit leave her body and entered something like a great beyond and was going. And she got to a gate and she saw two angels stand and said, you cannot come now. Said, you have declared too much long life, go back. No, when I first heard the testimony, I thought, okay, it's just a person. It happened to my mother too. My mother had an accident and died in 2003. They had covered her. Only for the mortician that comes every day to clean the body came there and saw her saying, I have a covenant of life and peace. I have a covenant of life and peace. I have a covenant of life and peace. And truly, that's what she used to say. We are not sharing you cunning device levels. This thing, we don't talk, we touch them. Are you hearing me? You see a Christian, 419 will do him. You see a Christian, they will always cheat him. No, you have not soaked into the reality of these things we are talking about. It says, meditate upon them. Give thyself wholly to them. Everybody reads Isaiah 48 verse 17. Thus says the Lord God, thy Redeemer, thy Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth to profit. Which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. He leads me to profit. He leads me to profit. He leads me to profit. Oh, businesswoman, he leads you to profit. He leads me to profit. He leads me to profit. You are not talking. He leads me to profit. He leads me to profit. I am led by God. I am led by God. Glory! Begin to pray right now. Exalt him right now.